Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Welcome to the Everyday Warrior podcast. I've got Connell Barrett, who is the author of Dating Sucks, But You Don't, which Will earlier said that's a little misleading because there are people that suck, but your title's good. And you're known as the real Hitch.
Right.
Which was Will Smith. He was a date doctor.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of his co-star in that, funny guy. But
Kevin James.
Kevin James.
The mall cop, yes.
And that funny, when your team reached out, I'm like, my wife and I just watched that like 2 weeks ago.
It is so scary how close my job is to that movie. It's like, my job is so much like Hitch, except I am a skinny ginger. I don't look like Will Smith, but yeah, it's very similar, very similar.
Well, I mean that, and so New York Post, did an article, said the real life Hitch.
Yep. Battling loneliness, helping introverted men and nice guys. And those are my sweet spots. Those are the guys I help. Guys like Kevin James played in that movie. Nice guys who just don't have confidence or know how to talk to women with confidence. Those are my guys, because that used to be me.
And so you are in New York.
Yes.
Much like Hitch.
Yep.
And we'll stop referring to that film here shortly.
Promotional consideration provided.
How's New York doing? Because us here in Texas, looks like y'all are losing your minds out there.
Oh, you mean like crime, weather?
It's just you guys are in the news nonstop.
Yeah. Well, all the media outlets are many of them are based in New York, so they always start with New York. My dad says that to me every week. We have a weekly chat. He's like, Connell, you okay? I'm seeing all this crazy stuff in New York. And most of the crazy stuff is not happening near me, luckily.
Give it time. I'm joking.
That's optimism.
If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead in the media. So it's always like doom and gloom.
Yeah.
It's amazing when people when you stop watching news or you choose the news outlets that you receive.
Like most people do.
Oh, dude, my old man. And your old man's still in Ohio, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Danny Barrett. Hi, Dad.
My dad watches Fox News. It'll be 3 a.m. You get up to go watch, like when we go to stay at their house in California, it'll be 3 a.m. He's in his robe watching Fox News. I'm like, dude, you are just poisoning your soul.
Yeah, that's like having a 3 a.m. Glass of strychnine. It's hard to get back to sleep when you take poison in the middle of the night. That's my opinion.
We are in funny times. Let's get this election over and move on. But
please.
So from Ohio, you've been in New York for
25 years.
Wow.
I'm old.
Love it.
I love it. It's the only place I've ever lived where I didn't want to move anywhere else.
Where do you live in New York?
I live on the west side on West 42nd Street. What used to be Hell's Kitchen. But it's all filled with dogs and couples now. It's like hell's breakfast nook.
It's been like gentrified.
Very gentrified. Yeah.
Okay. And that's part of like the greater Manhattan area, right?
Yeah. I'm as close as I can get to New Jersey without actually being in New Jersey, right on the edge.
There you go. Yeah. I don't mind New York in short spurts. I'll go on Fox or Newsmax occasionally.
I've seen you. Yeah.
But no, it's fun. I stay right near Times Square, which is a complete mess, but it's close to the studios. I think they're on the Avenues of America.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Very close to Times Square. I'm pretty sure Times Square was one of the circles in hell in Dante's Inferno. It's like the lowest circle is Times Square in the summer. I try to stay away. So as a New Yorker, I know where not to go.
I laugh at Times Square because I go and I'm like, this is America. This is the melting pot.
That's a great point. It really is. You see everything. You see radically left liberals. You see Trumpers. You see people who don't care. You see people pretending to be Elmo, trying to get tips.
All the Marvel characters, women in bikinis in the winter. Yeah.
Naked cowboy.
Oh, he's great though.
You got everything in Times Square. It's America.
He's actually talented.
Is he? He can play?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a musician, so I can't tell.
Nor am I.
Oh, I never had that gene. Okay.
No. God, no. My parents tried everything. Piano, clarinet, guitar. Nothing hit. I'm missing that gene. I don't have that gene.
Same with me. I've been playing guitar for 25 years, but I've not gotten better. My improvement arc looks like an EKG that's flatlining.
So you're exceptionally mediocre.
Very mediocre.
Yes. Exceptionally mediocre.
I'm very good at one or two things, and I'm mediocre at guitar.
Yeah, we used to have a saying, you know, one thing well, two things shitty. There's a great book, The Power of One.
Yeah.
It is the truth.
Yeah.
And I defy that every day. I've got too many ventures. I've got to pick and choose. So how the hell, I mean, you don't have a doctorate, I'm assuming, or do you?
No. Grad school, but no doctorate. There's no dating guru certificate that I know about.
You should start one.
Maybe I will.
When do you franchise this?
I'm working on it. Let's talk.
Yeah, okay. where would you get your master's in?
Journalism.
Journalism.
Yeah, I'm a writer.
Did you start out in journalism?
Yes. I moved to New York City to become a magazine journalist back when magazines existed and were a thing. So yeah, I'm a journalist by trade. I wrote for Sports Illustrated, Golf Magazine, a lot of men's magazines. I love writing. That's why writing a book was so important to me, was my writer identity just loved becoming an author. That was really exciting to me.
It is. It's a bit, dude, when I came out with my books, my family's like, of all the kids, they're like, the one who didn't graduate high school with his class, they're like, we wouldn't have expected you to write a book. It was pretty funny. And then my parents bought all 500 copies that were sold. So it was good.
All right.
It was good. do you enjoy sports?
Yes. I'm a big sports fan.
Which?
Tennis, football, at least around the playoffs. Golf used to be. I used to write about golf. I met every top golfer. I played all the courses. So I was mainly a golf journalist until I became a dating coach. I was a golf specialist. So I know a lot about golf too.
What was your perspective on the whole live GPA or PGA?
I haven't gotten into golf in about 5 or 6 years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So I don't have a strong opinion about it, but I do have strong opinions about there just being way too much money in golf. And it's way too much about the money, not about the great titles and the great competition.
Wow. You just slammed the get. We're having a young girl on tomorrow because it's you're here during South by Southwest, which usually my wife and I try to leave during South by Southwest.
Okay.
It was fun when you were here and you were single, like ACL. Have you heard of that? Austin City Limits.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
At South by South. When you're single, it's fun. When you're married, you're just like, let's get the hell out of this city because everyone comes in. But she was the first NCAA athlete to take money under the NIL. And now she has a company that represents college athletes. I think it's called Playbook.
Okay.
So it's funny having her on. I'm like, every NCAA football coach hates you.
Mm.
Yeah, probably.
Can I come back tomorrow and heckle her?
Heckle her?
While she talks to you?
Absolutely.
I'm here.
All right. So journalism, that's a deep leap. It's to go from journalism to date doctor.
There's no normal leap to go to date doctor. So yeah, going from golf journalist and men's magazine journalist to date doctor, it was never planned.
Were you giving advice to friends?
Yes. I was already doing this. I got into this, by this I mean actively studying and trying to get better at dating in the mid-00s, mid-aughts. And then I started hiring and paying coaches late 2000s, 2009, because I was struggling with, I couldn't talk to women. Or at least I couldn't talk to attractive women without feeling like I was going to hyperventilate. I'm naturally very introverted, and so I needed help. So I got a bunch of coaches. I took lots of action. I did what they call dating boot camps, pickup boot camps. Have you ever heard that term as a man who knows something about the word boot camp?
So I hate to go back to the movie. I remember they were doing the rotations. Wasn't that a thing? Was that in that movie?
In Hitch?
Yes.
When you mean rotations?
Like they had men at a table and women would rotate.
That's a speed date.
Speed date. It's completely different.
A boot camp is when, and this is what I do with my clients. I don't call it that, but a boot camp is a dating guru goes out with three or four guys on the town. And one night in July of 2009, my first dating guru took me and a couple other guys out on the town to go approach women. I was 38 years old. I had never approached a human attractive female in my life. And I was petrified. And shortly before the boot camp started, and by the way, boot camp means we spend 2 or 3 days approaching clubs, bars, coffee shops, just talking to dozens of women. And moments before it was all about to begin, I said, "Hey, Ryan, I need to go to the men's room." And I went to the men's room and had a panic attack. I started dry heaving. I wasn't eating or drinking. I was just so nervous. And at the time I thought, oh, this is just butterflies. This is normal. But what I now realize in retrospect is that I felt like I was about to go out that night and find out if I had worth and value to women, if I was attractive and significant or insignificant and unattractive. And that was a bullshit story playing in my head, total nonsense, but that's what it felt like. So the stakes felt very high. Anyway, the first chapter of my book is about that night and how I met a really wonderful woman named Kelly and ended up clicking and connecting with her. But also I did a ton of other approaches that didn't go anywhere. And I remember the first woman I ever approached, she was a pretty drunk woman with a white cowboy hat on. And I finally walked up to her, 38 years in the making, me talking to a beautiful girl. I chatted her up and it went fine. She didn't like me. She didn't reject me and try to kick me out. She just we had a drunk bar chat and then she wandered away and talked to her friends. And I remember thinking, that wasn't so bad. That's what I've been afraid of. A cute girl just saying, nice meeting you. Bye. I can handle that. And so that was the night I had a big breakthrough about realizing, hey, you know what? My worth and value isn't on the line. It's just a woman. I'm just me. And that was a big aha moment for me.
That is, it seems like we're in a day and age. One, it takes courage, I don't care who you are, to approach a woman at a bar.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever had a strategy. You either hit a home run or you struck out. But I never had a strategy. But it seems like in this day and age with all the dating apps, like I've got to assume women when they're out in town have to appreciate a man coming up.
Yes.
Rather than swiping left on an app. Who am I pretending? I knew who was swiping left. I'm lying.
Well, you said the magic word, courage. A lot of guys think, oh, you know what? I would go talk to a beautiful woman if I just had the confidence. And that there's a big myth that they think they need confidence to do it. They don't need confidence. They need courage first. Courage is currency that buys you confidence. You get confidence in a minute or 5 minutes or 5 months. It's different for every guy. But you can make a decision using good old-fashioned courage to walk up to literally any woman anywhere and take some kind of good-intentioned romantic risk. And when my clients or readers of my book or just any guy out there, when he realizes, wait, I can go talk to anybody even though I'm afraid, then the confidence comes later. Mm. It's basically paying dues. You got to pay for that confidence with some courage. Just like that night, I'm puking in the bathroom because I had no confidence, but I did have courage. I also paid this guy $2,500 for 3 days of a boot camp, and I got a lot of leverage on myself. So yeah, courage is the key word. But back to your second point, which was a great one, I think now is the best time ever for single men to go out and meet women in real life, because they're so unaccustomed to a charming, cool, authentic guy. And that's the magic word for me, being your real self. It's so rare for a guy to walk up to that woman at a grocery store or at a bar and do it with charm and not some kind of weird, creepy pickup line. Women love that. It's so refreshing, to your point. It's different than what they're used to. Is a really beautiful woman on Tinder going to go tell her girlfriends that the 800th guy swiped right on her today? No. Is she going to go tell her girlfriends that this really cool, charming guy came up to me in the grocery store and noticed that I had 3 bags of popcorn and teased me about being addicted to popcorn, but it was charming and light, and all of a sudden I'm giving him my number? She's going to tell her girlfriends that was like a rom-com moment. So when you meet women in real life, you do it the right way with some charm, with authenticity. You can give women the gift of a rom-com movie moment, just like Hitch or just like any rom-com.
Does every woman want a rom-com?
It seems like. I think so. I think that's a universal thing. There's a reason why women love them, right?
My wife either watches rom-coms. Well, actually, that's not true. 3 things. Rom-coms, Bravo TV, which I can't stand.
Okay.
And she watches more murder podcasts or shows than I've, there's something about women. They just watch nothing but murder. And she's like, I'll know when you're coming for me. And she's like, and if you kill me, you're going to be the first suspect. I'm like, oh, okay.
Your wife sounds a lot like my girlfriend, Jess. Same thing with murder, true crime. And we both, I love rom-coms too. We both love rom-coms. I'm not sure about Bravo, but yeah, we love a good rom-com. There's just something about it that it's romantic and charming, but not overtly sexual or too strong. I think there's an innocence to a rom-com, which is exactly the right way to approach a woman. You approach with innocence, good intention, light flirtation, but no sexy, creepy, sexy time.
Hey,
how you doing?
The one-liners. Do one-liners work?
Anything can work if you commit to it, and if it makes a woman go, all right, I'll give this guy a second. I don't like to prepare things for the most part. I'm a big improv guy. I've taken a lot of improv comedy classes, and I love.
I can see how that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to have a guy discover in the moment. The best thing to say is probably going to come out of the moment. Just like you and I haven't scripted anything. We're just talking. We're just stream of consciousness. If I was sitting here trying to remember a bunch of things that was going to impress you or your audience, I'd probably get in my head and get stifled. That said, some of my guys need a little bit of a little push. So I might give them the first line. Just it's more for the guy than for the woman.
And I'm going to ask if you provide them with a methodology, but before I get that, the gym.
Yeah.
Is the gym off limits in terms of?
No.
Really?
Just do it the right way. Here's what not to do at the gym. What you don't do at the gym is you walk up to a woman, crotch forward. Hey, you're looking fucking hot. Damn, I was watching you doing those squats, girl. Any kind of like toxic, way too sexual sort of come on is going to probably make most women feel uncomfortable.
And if it does work, then you're probably starting a relationship with the wrong woman. Yeah.
So that kind of direct approach, even a less intense direct approach, like, hey, you're gorgeous. I wanted to meet you. I'm fine with that kind of opener at a club at midnight. At a gym, you're in a social situation, social circle situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you want to be aware that this is a place you come and work out every day. You don't want women saying, hey, this guy's been hitting on all the girls.
You ruin. So here's my perspective. My wife and I talk about this. It's, I had a no, I call it socializing with women or going up and meeting women in the gym, unless they came up first, because I don't want to ruin their environment for them, because then they're like, oh, this guy again. If funny enough, you know, I don't go to the same gym as my wife anymore, but guys come up to her nonstop. And she's like, do you teach guys to look at the ring finger?
I certainly tell them to be aware.
It's obvious. I mean, she doesn't have a big ring, but it's obvious. And it's going to be more obvious when she starts to show here in the next few months. But the amount of the stories she tells me, oh, I just get aggravated. But methodology. Do you provide the guys with a methodology?
I do.
Is there like an acronym?
I don't have an acronym. Just before I forget, I want to give an answer to the gym question.
Yes.
Just because I don't want to leave your guys hanging. What not to do, I just explained. Well, here's how you do it at the gym or any kind of social circle place is you approach in a friendly way, friendly and light, conversational, but not putting romantic cards on the table. For example, I was once at the gym and I saw a woman I found attractive and intriguing. And I went up to her and I noticed she was on her phone listening to something. And I said, hey, I'm curious. Can I ask you what podcast are you listening to? Or what are you listening to? And she said the podcast. She said the song she listens to. And what I'm doing is I'm looking for signals that she's enjoying me. Mm. Reading her.
Body language.
Yeah, body language. And she's very friendly and smiley. And I was wearing a Krispy Kreme t-shirt because I have weird style. And she looked at my shirt and said, oh, I saw you before. Your shirt's making me really hungry. And she said it with a little smile. And she's giving me a signal that I'm enjoying this conversation, at least socially. And she's giving some small flirtatious signals. She's now basically giving me permission to dial things up a little bit and say something like, oh, wow, you know what? Maybe we should go get Krispy Kreme sometime to put all this gym work to good use. And she's like, yeah, I'd like that. And then boom, phone number, Krispy Kreme date. At no point did I do anything that she could really reject, at least not in an inappropriate way. She might say, oh, thanks for asking, but I have a boyfriend. But by then we've gotten rapport. We had a nice conversation and I'm really not making any big social risk here. So basically it's about being more indirect, light and friendly and reading her interest in you, at least social interest, and then making a call. And if she had not been that interested in talking to me, if she was looking down at her phone, I would not have asked her out. I would have pulled back. No, I'm not going to get in any trouble that way. So that's how you do a gym approach. Indirect, read her, and then feel if there's chemistry or not. Mm.
Methodology.
Yes, system.
System.
The method. My method is pretty simple. I don't teach, I don't have a great acronym. I need to find a catchy acronym. But what I teach men in a sentence is to take courageous, authentic action with good intentions for women. It's about courage, 100% about authenticity, and then let the romantic chips fall where they're going to fall and do it with a lot of empathy and reading and noticing how the woman is feeling about you. My philosophy is all about authenticity and essentially following the simple guideline of whatever I'm thinking and feeling is what I'm saying and doing. Filtering that through the lens of, okay, don't be vulgar, but also don't not take an action because of fear or because of, oh gosh, I might get rejected. Basically, if every single day a single man takes one romantic risk that takes courage, that moves him toward a dating outcome, a great girlfriend, confidence, being able to approach, he's going to be doing the right thing. So I say take daily courageous, authentic action, and that action is going to be different from guy to guy. But as long as you're doing that, then we make adjustments based on the kind of feedback you're getting from women.
I would push back about the good intention. What does good intention mean?
Great question. Start from a place of how can I make her smile? How can I make her day better? How can I walk up to that woman at the gym and try to make her smile and try to give her a small compliment, give her a small gift? I come from this from the frame of contribution first. Mm. Having good intentions.
Give before you receive.
Yeah. Instead of making it all about me getting a number, getting sex, getting a date. That kind of romantic result we want, of course. But first you lead with contribution and giving. And then that's, you know, in life you got to give to get, right? I mean, that's kind of just a truism, I think. So
that's
I want
death,
guys to...
It's death and taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically it's give, and then ask for what you want. Maybe it is. Yeah, just give a lot.
Is there a timetable on that?
Yeah, it's context dependent. If I have a great 5-minute chat with a woman, I've approached her, I've given for 5 minutes, I've tried to crack a couple jokes, given her a genuine compliment, I'm giving her presence and finding her genuinely interesting, seeing what makes her and being authentic, then I'll say to myself, all right, it's fair for me to ask now because I might be asking for her for something that she wants to give me. So it's even the ask can be a give in a sense, but I'm not going to walk up. Here's a big mistake guys make. They walk up in 10 seconds and they're like, hey, want to go on a date? Can I get your number? It's like, dude, you haven't given nearly enough to ask for that. It's like when a guy books me. It's like if a guy booked a client call with me or an enrollment call. And like 5 minutes in, I say, yeah, man, it'll be 10 grand. Do you want to work with me? Well, I don't know, Connell. I don't know if you're going to help me. Basically, I wouldn't have given him enough. So, give a lot. And it feels really good to give. Giving is also a fix for fear of rejection or approaching anxiety. Mm. Do you know the term approaching anxiety?
No.
It's a dating, quote unquote, pickup term. Goes back probably 20 plus years. Wanting to seeing a woman, wanting to approach her, but feeling anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The anxiety typically comes from the fear of her rejecting you. And then that would feel really bad for your ego. Or also the fear of people seeing you get shot down. And those are coming from a focus on, am I going to get what I want? Am I going to get a number or am I going to get rejected? Basically home run or strikeout. And what I want guys to do in terms of their mindset, before I give guys all the moves, the fun flirting moves, which I love, that frosting is delicious, but the cake is a really great mindset. And for me, the mindset is, you know what? I'm going to not focus on whether or not she quote unquote rejects me. I'm going to try to give her a really good experience. I'm going to make it about her first. And that's going to make it less likely she'll reject me, quote unquote. But also I'm not going to be focused on my little fragile little ego. I'm going to be focused on trying to give her a little something, a little $5 bill of good emotions. And then that makes a lot of the fear of rejection go away because you've shifted your focus from will my ego get crushed, to can I make her night better? That's also great dating strategy too.
You know, I do remember the times I've struck out. I've always left with a compliment, unless they were just completely rude.
Okay.
I just would leave. But even if it wasn't there, hey, you're an exceptionally beautiful woman. I wish you the best of luck, or hey, have a great night. The whole vulgar thing, you're just dumb. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
Probably you could get into the value system.
Yeah.
If any guy thinks that's a good approach, you're dumb.
Here's a quick stat. A dating coach and I did some research on this. This is pretty good data. 1 out of 5 men online ask for sex within 6 messages when they're messaging a woman. That's vulgar in my book. And so these are not my guys or not my readers, but 1 out of 5 guys, either because they're just being dumb or they've gotten bad advice from Reddit, some creepy YouTube pickup dude.
Bad advice from Reddit?
what are the odds?
I follow all my investing advice from Reddit.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm in so much debt.
I'm sure that's working. Yeah. I'm going to have Reddit handle all my mutual funds going forward. Yeah.
My wife is an active, what's the term for him? Is it, there is a term.
Redditor?
Redditor. Is that it? Yeah. She's on there all the time. She's like, on Reddit, they said this. She's following it for pregnancy right now. And I'm like, probably not let's just stick with the doctor. But I guess she's like, no, there's other women who are pregnant. It's great advice. I'm like, okay, you do you.
I'm sure maybe. There's good parts of Reddit, but the dating stuff is a toxic swamp.
Yeah. The sex, and when you go to intention, it's always there. That's human nature. Do you give guys like a time frame, like push off your advances for at least 3 dates, 4 dates, 10 dates, or is it contextual based off the progress of those dates?
It's contextual based on the progress. I say you and your lady circle the bases at whatever rate of speed you both feel good with. And that could be 1 date, rare, but possible. More likely it's going to be 3, 4, 5, 6 dates a month or two. As long as you're both going around the bases, but going at a similar rate of speed, that's the important thing. So it could be 6 months, could be 6 hours.
Is there any data on one night stands?
Ooh, what do you mean by data?
In terms of relationships that continue on.
Good question. Not that I know about. Most of my clients, a lot of my clients, I would say 1 in 4 are come to me as virgins.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
What's the average age?
Well, good question. I would say average age is late 30s.
Late 30s.
I get men they have a birthday approaching that ends in 0.
Mm.
So I got 29, 39, 49. My oldest client was 73. And so the...
Jumping back into the pond?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a widower.
Widower. I figured.
Right. The oldest virgin I had was 51-year-old male virgin who came to me and said, through a combination of struggling with confidence, not being good at dating, but also, I think there were some religious factors in there too, he had never had sex. He didn't come to me specifically because of that, but that was obviously a byproduct of his dating struggles. And so the sex conversation is not super relevant for many of my clients because when you're a virgin, you're just trying to get a date. You're just trying to get a girlfriend. And then the intimacy part of it tends to take care of itself. I'm happy to say I've deflowered many male virgins in my own way, but it's almost never an issue.
Unpaid.
Yes.
Good.
Right.
That's 51. Wow. Most of these men that come to you, one are
can
highly
I tell
successful.
You, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. A virgin story.
You can tell me a virgin story.
I've
seen the movie.
I had a
40-year-old virgin.
I had a former virgin. He was 30-ish, or 31, 32, and he owns his own company. He lives in Georgia. He's a great guy, marketing guru, and trying to be careful here to protect identities. Let's just say he looks like Harry Potter. And
first off, there's a lot of women that think Harry Potter is absolutely handsome.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
He looks a little bit like Harry Potter. His middle name is Harold, and he even has the glasses.
Why do that to your child?
His parents.
My great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather break tradition.
Yeah, his parents must have lost a bet. Maybe they had to do it. But I'll call him Paul. Paul, middle name Harold. He came to me as a virgin and very successful. He's a guy who's very introverted, really good at career advancement. And the mindset that is great for career success, logical, analytical, plow forward, that makes it tough for men to flirt. They get into a logical, analytical mindset, which is not a way to get into a light, fun, flirty, bantery, rom-com type of date. So that's why I get a lot of men like that. Anyway, Paul, middle name Harold, comes to me and we're writing his Hinge profile. And the prompt that really made it work for him was, yes, I have the glasses. Yes, my middle name is Harry and I'm really good with my wand. And that got him a lot of matches. To your point, women are like, oh, I love Harry Potter. Yeah. Yeah, and they laughed. And he kind of looks like Harry Potter. We're not talking about a male model here, okay? Anyway, fast forward to the second or third woman he began dating while working with me. He decided, again, I'm all about vulnerable, authentic, be honest. He said, can I tell her I'm a virgin beforehand? And I said, I have no problem with that. Put it out there and let's let the chips fall. So he says to his now fiance, he says, I just want you to know before we do this, because it was getting hot and heavy. And he said, I just want you to know, I've never been with a woman. And she said, and I quote, I want to be your first and your last. And then they went into his bedroom. And that just makes me smile so much because he's a guy who didn't realize how he thought, oh, I'm too nerdy. I look like Harry Potter. I'm just a business dork. Women don't like me. And one of the first women he met was like, not only am I into you, I want to be your one and only. And so anyway, that's my virgin sex story.
I forget to assume in this, I mean, do these guys give you testimonials?
Sometimes, sure. Absolutely.
I've got to assume in this realm, this profession, testimonials are everything. Credibility.
Yeah, super important. Yeah. I look at anybody, any coach I hire for my business, I'm absolutely looking at their reviews and testimonials for sure.
You're helping these guys with dating, but the reality is you're really helping these guys change. I don't want to say change who they are, but gain confidence, which I'm sure bleeds over not only into dating, but just relationships in the workplace and perspective in life.
Absolutely. Well, I was reading Everyday Warrior last night. Amazing. I'm about a third of the way through. Props. And I'm not going to quote it exactly, but you talk about how some of the concepts you learned as a Navy SEAL in the military, they're holistic and they spread across different areas of your life and have helped you, obviously, doing amazing things in business and media and podcasting. Similarly, with dating, when a guy fixes his confidence, his social skills, and has a beautiful woman in his life, that's like a rising tide that lifts all these other boats. All of a sudden, he has better connections with his friends because maybe he's out socializing with his new partner and going on, you know, going to parties together. He stands a little taller. When I was fixing all this, when I was low and lonely and freaking depressed as hell, I started working on this area and I started standing a little taller. All of a sudden I stood all 6'1" of me instead of like, meh, I'm Connell, a nerd who girls don't like. And all of a sudden I'm walking around the offices of Golf Magazine 15 years ago saying, I made out with a total 10 last night, bitches. And you know what? I wasn't afraid to do the big presentation. I was excited to go out and I just saw some hope. So yeah, when you get your dating life fixed and handled and get that great girl, it's not just about getting a partner, although that's a huge life-changing thing. It's about, whoa, I have worth and value as a man. I can enjoy life more. Food tastes better. Life is better. And you can kind of tackle other areas too.
As you're like, oh, you're in the Navy SEALs, you learn. Funny enough with dating, we used to laugh at guys, and I'm guilty of it too. It's, you know, you go up to a girl and you're like, hey, I'm Mike, I'm a Navy SEAL. And it's actually a pretty good line. It works a lot of times, okay. But we call it dropping the S-bomb.
If I use that, it wouldn't work as well, I don't think.
Well, SEALs come in all different sizes, but you call it the S-bomb.
You've got muscles in places where I don't have places.
You dropped the S-bomb, didn't you? Yeah, I did. So it was, can you do it without dropping the S-bomb? Okay. But with my wife, you know, didn't drop it. And there was a long story. There was a lot of flirtation there for years. And throughout that flirtation, she didn't know what I did or used to do. And then finally, we got a first date after 2 years. And it was great. So we had a common friend. She actually came up to me on a boat, a party barge here on Lake Austin. There's a little party cove.
And what's her name?
Jordan.
Jordan. Okay.
Jordan. And she comes up and I'd been looking at her, and I've got this gallon of water. I was a lot bigger back then. And you know, we're playing the eye game, and she just walks over and she's like, "Who are you?" Or no, she said, "I'm Jordan Monday. Who are you?" And we flirted. I was dating somebody at the time.
Okay.
We had a common friend. We sent that person a picture, but, later she's like, "Hey, I want to go on a date with you." And, she actually did it through the friend, and I'm like, "Hey, I can't right now. I'm dating this other girl." And so there was always this back and forth, but after 2 years, that friend reached out to me, and I hadn't talked to that mutual friend in like a year. And she's like, "Hey, just checking in. How are you doing?" And I said, "Is your friend Jordan single?" And she's like, "Yes, yes, yes." They were having a girls' night at a famous bar, not bar, restaurant, Red Ash, which is owned by the Foles family. Nick Foles played for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I crashed their girls' night, and I had a backpack, which looked odd in a restaurant, like I'm some Unabomber walking in. And I had a little recovery to do because I stood her up one time when we were talking on Facebook and pulled out 24 roses. And I said, "Hey, I'm so sorry for the past behavior. And would love a date." We started dating. Point where I'm leading is this. Well, you know, she's like, I don't even know your background. So who are you?" And I'm like, "Well, so I was a Navy SEAL for more or less 20 years. I was a recon Marine Scout sniper." And she looks at me and she doesn't know. I'm like, "Navy SEAL?" She's like, "No." And she didn't know what it was. Mm. And I'm like, "Oh shit, there just went pretty much 99% of my game." And I'm trying to explain it, and I didn't really know how to explain it. And, so then her mom and her start like doing research on SEALs, and they're sending me the clips of the articles. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." Yeah. And, now she's like, to this point, it's hilarious.
It's like if Superman walked up to Lois.
Well, it's gone. That is like rubbed off unless she sees me do something cool. But she's like, "You are a SEAL now?" We had an alarm go off in our house at like 3 a.m. in the morning. We'd never heard the alarm. It must've been like the CO2 sensor or something. And it was loud. And so I jump out of bed. I get, you know, I get my boxers on, I go grab the pistol, and I come out of the closet where the pistol was, and I'm racking the pistol to load around and I'm just discombobulated. I don't sleep well. And the pistol goes flying out of my hand across the room, and I have to go pick up the pistol. And it just, I looked like a complete nutter mess. And I go down in the house. She comes back, she's sitting up in bed, and she's like, "Did you lie to me? Were you really a Navy SEAL?" I'm like, "Yes, damn it. You've seen the pictures." You know, it's amazing. How long does it take? What's the typical transformation? Mm. I mean, do you have to pour into these guys for a month, two months, 3 months? Again, I know it's contextual.
Yeah, every guy's a little different. If a guy's got good, solid social skills in most of life, he's just never fixed this dating area, changes can happen pretty fast. Not overnight. I'm not talking about quick fixes, but I've had a couple guys go up two levels because they made one big shift. In fact, one of them is a former Navy SEAL. So I've coached two Navy SEALs. I think, pretty sure that was the title they gave me. And then two or three other men served in Iraq in different military contexts. And there's a commonality I've seen, and it blows my mind. It doesn't surprise me because I get how they feel.
Insular?
Well,
antisocial?
No, actually neither are those things. I was going to say, like, both guys basically, I'm thinking of a client named, we'll call him Brad. Brad in Florida. Brad came to me, our first call, he said, "Connell, I'm a former SEAL. I've been in firefights. I've done like heroic stuff. I can't go for a first kiss on a first date. It's petrifying to me."
Interesting.
I had a doctor once say, "Connell, he flies gliders. He literally operates open heart surgery. I can't talk to a cute girl at the club, at the bar. I can't do it." So it's just interesting when you have a mindset that has these little, it's kind of like having bugs in the software. Mm-hmm. You can be the most amazing, super heroic person in the world, which to me would be somebody who serves, somebody like you or somebody like Brad. But then the mindset says, "Oh, but if she rejects you, you're not enough." And that's where the real resistance happens. So quick story about how Brad and I handled this, how we fixed it. He had two or three first dates. He pushed out each time. He did not go for the kiss. And we had a real powerful phone conversation, a coaching conversation. And I basically said, we realized he related going for a first kiss as being ungentlemanly. too creepy, too sexual.
So his upbringing was probably...
Yes, he had some programming, these little stories inside that said physical contact on the first date is creepy. And then I said, you know what? Is it possible that this is a misunderstanding? And we kind of rewired it. And he started to realize, you know what? What's more gentlemanly than letting a beautiful woman know that she's attractive and I want to kiss her if there's chemistry? And we started to rewrite that. Fast forward to his next date. He's got a date with a woman named Cara. And first date, he and Cara have a really good date, 2.5 hours. But he hadn't gone for the first kiss yet. They go out to the parking lot. In his head, he's like, I promise Connell I'd do it. I'm going for that first kiss. They get to the first kiss at wherever this bar is in Florida. They get to her car. And he finally says, okay, I'm going to do it. And he leans in and he kisses her, sort of pressing her against the car. She kisses back. Hands start roaming. Tongues are moving. It's a pretty passionate and amazing first kiss. And then she says, can I curse on this podcast?
Go for it.
She says, I want you to fuck me. And he says, I want that too. So I'm like, he's telling me the story. I'm like, okay, good. and then she looks behind her and says, oh, but you know what? Oh, I've got all these boxes and books in my car. We can't do it in my car. Where's your truck? He says, oh, I'm right over here. So she says, great, let's go. So they go back to his truck and things progress from there. This was the first time Brad ever went for a first kiss on a first date. And I just love the fact that he hooked up with a girl named Cara in his car on the first date. I just love that. That just makes me laugh.
I think my only question is, did neither of them have an apartment?
They were both just really turned on. The moral here is not that you need to have first date sex or first date parking lot sex, which I've never had. And I'm the guru. He out-Connelled Connell. The point is that the lesson there that Brad really learned was, you know what? Taking risks on a date is actually smart and safe. And being safe, which he was being, is actually risky. Risky is safe, and safe is risky in dating. So if it feels risky to go for that first kiss, it's probably something you should do using good old-fashioned courage. And the first date block was gone. And I don't know if he and Cara ended up, I know they didn't end up as a couple, but man, that's a hell of a story.
It's a good story. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Well, he served his country. And first off, don't ever take dating advice from the SEAL. ever. I've always talked to my friends. We want to write a book about just all the funniest stories, but society would be like, you need to shut like special operations down now. It's just
too many secrets.
Oh,
revealed.
Just the shenanigans that went on. I do remember a kid. He was just sort of different, socially awkward, North Dakota, homeschooled, became a SEAL, virgin. We end up in Panama, the country,
okay,
and in Panama City. And we collectively tried to open his aperture through a woman of the night. And this was like the whole platoon. And it happened. And then his next deployment was to Thailand. And I'm sure things happened in Thailand. We know they did. And then when he would get like a 5-day vacation, he would fly back to Thailand. And we're like,
wow.
Ooh, maybe we made a mistake.
Like a little too into Thailand.
We've created a monster. Not the direction we wanted to take him. Stories that, sorry, Mom, that probably should stay in the dark.
My first time, it was over so fast. I still want to say, Angie, I'm sorry.
I was drunk.
Seconds. Egg drunk? Time. It was an egg timer. I'm so sorry.
Alcohol. First time was alcohol. You know, yeah. Drunk. Can't remember it. Again, sorry, Mom. I waited until marriage. Dating apps. Do you still advocate for
absolutely.
Dating? Yeah.
Yeah. I met my girlfriend Jess on a dating app.
Which one?
So The League.
Ah.
The League. Yep.
The League is, you've got to apply, right?
Yeah, it's sort of, it markets itself as Ivy the League. Ivy League of dating apps. If Tinder is UT, the party school, the League is Princeton.
First off.
Trying to be.
UT is a premier educational institution from which I got my MBA.
I know.
So I don't appreciate coming on the podcast. I've done my research. In Austin and denigrating University of Texas. Shame on you.
I apologize. I'm going to leave now.
We're number 13 of MBA programs.
Nice. Yeah.
Why I got into that school, I'll never know. Actually, I do.
Is it a party? Is it a party school, or is it just a college?
UT is a party school. Okay. You can't come to Austin and it not be a party school.
Okay.
It is. I went to Texas A&M for my undergrad, and that's a party school.
Yeah.
But it's also a college town. I freaking hated it. No offense to A&M, is a great institution. Just, have you been to College Station?
No.
Don't go. Don't go.
All right. Canceling my plan.
I think on my weekends, I would actually come to Austin. I would drive, what is it, 2 hours, Will? About an hour and a half, 2 hours? Because it just, yeah, a lot of country.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And I'd come from San Diego prior to that. So it was a culture shock. No, and then Hinge is, it's through third connections. It's sort of like a plot graph.
No. Hinge is basically a swiping app. It's got a slightly different setup. What's really innovative and cool about Hinge, here's a tip for any single guys out there, is Hinge lets every single part of your profile give a person, a woman or a man, I'm obviously a coach for men, it gives the person a chance to like that individual photo, that individual quote, that individual audio prompt. Most apps like Tinder, Bumble, you swipe right on the whole thing or you swipe left on the whole thing. So what's cool about Hinge is a woman might say, heart, I like your hat, Mike. And then you know, okay, the hat photo's crushing. Keep the hat photo. What are women not hearting? Oh, I don't like that he's, hates true crime. You're like, get rid of that prompt. So here's a good tip that I do with my clients is every guy should be on Hinge. I'm not paid by Hinge.
Really?
Yeah, every guy should be on Hinge because it gives you data for the photos and the prompts that women like. Keep what's working but then swap in new photos and prompts. But also you can take what's working on Hinge and know that it's going to work on Tinder or Bumble too, because people are people, women are women. So you can use Hinge as a way to get dates, but also take the data for the photos, discard it's basically marketing, little mini marketing program that tells you what to use on other apps too. So that's why I really like Hinge.
This is Men's Journal and you know, this isn't my typical subject. It doesn't fall under leadership. Maybe it does. But when I came to Austin, freshly divorced, just a quick story. I had a mutual friend, Rachel, and she actually was married to a special forces guy. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I would have said the same thing if she was married to a SEAL. We're not easy to deal with.
Okay.
And we're again on a boat going out to the party barge. This is a different time. And she has another friend there and she's like, oh, the guy from last night just sent me a dick pic.
Dick pic. Oh God.
This missed my generation.
Yeah.
And she gave me the phone and I'm just staring at this thing for a minute.
Oh man.
And I'm just like, I was so astounded. I'm like, at what point did somebody teach guys that is okay?
I don't know.
I'm assuming you do not advocate to your clients to send male appendages.
It
over.
Is awful to send photos of your dick after one date. Wait till the third date.
The third date.
That's the gentlemanly thing to know. No, please do not edit. Let me add, don't cut that off before I say, I'm kidding. Dude, I was on a date a couple of years ago. It was one of the last dates I had before I met my partner, Jess. And I'm with this beautiful woman from Bumble named Rebecca. And we're having a couple of drinks and she's got her phone out. And I say, can I see your phone? Do you mind? Or not, can I see your phone? But I said, what are you looking at? She said, I'm just looking at this thing this guy sent me. Guy sent a dick video to her. So guys are graduating from pics to videos. So yeah,
I mean, did the guy get creative? Maybe put a little bow tie on it.
Yeah, he had a little song playing.
Oh, that's okay.
A Muppet theme song and did a little like Muppet dance. At least that would have been creative. I don't know. I don't know where that germ of an awful idea came from that has made so many men do that. Maybe Reddit's to blame. I don't know, but I rarely say always or never, but you never ever 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 send a dick pic to a woman. Unless you're dating her and she has
asked
you unprompted, can you send me XYZ? And if you want to do that, great. But otherwise, no bueno.
In the one thing I left out about that picture is he took it next to an aerosol can for reference. I'm actually impressed.
Oh, my God.
But I mean, he gave her a reference point and just odd.
I would take mine next to a thimble, just to try to get the positive comparison. Here's what you can do, though. Another tip. I like to play around with the things that guys do badly and use them to
reverse engineer.
Yeah, reverse engineer and have some fun with it on your profile. You as a single, cool, awesome gentleman. And so on my profile right now, I'd show it to you if you want. My Bumble prompt is, I will not send you a dick pic, but I might send you a duck pic. Women love that. It just says, well, he gets it. And also, okay, it's kind of light. It's playful. It's G-rated. And I have so many women on my Bumble profile, which is just for testing, by the way. I have a girlfriend. But I get so many matches saying, hey, where's my duck pic? I want my duck pic. And so that sends a great message. I'm not a douchebag who's going to send you my penis photo, but also here's something light and childlike. Another fun thing I have done in the past is I'll be texting a woman. Maybe it's leading up to the first date. And I'll say, oh, hey, let me send you a dick pic. And then I'll send a little GIF of Dick Cheney. or some other famous dick, and I'll be like, hey, are you turned on now? So I love to play with the flaws, this is the minority of men do this, dick pics. It's a small but vocal minority.
The silent majority
are nice, normal dudes like me, like my clients, and we can make fun of these guys and use it to make a girl laugh and go, finally, a cool guy who gets it, and then they love that.
That is, do you recommend guys be on multiple apps like Match.com, Hey, yeah, Tinder, Bumble?
I like two. Two's a great place to start. Hinge, for the reason I mentioned about getting that marketing data. And then one more that sort of you feel good about using, you like using. So if you're a little bit older, middle age, 40s, 50s, eHarmony Match is a good sweet spot for you. If you're 20s, 30s, Coffee Meets Bagel. Tinder.
Coffee Meets Bagel.
You've heard of that?
No, I have not.
Yeah. Maybe that's more Eastern New York, but they're national. If you're in the 20s and 30s and you're open to both casual and relationships, then those are good apps for guys like in their 20s and 30s.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of dating apps. I like to think of it like a business funnel. When I talk to
which is dating, it's basically becoming a sales.
Well, yeah, it really is. Yourself. I mean, it's online dating is not really dating until you meet that person. Until you meet them, it's marketing. You are creating a digital marketing campaign.
A brand.
Basically, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Just so much like marketing. You want your brand to be clear. It should be different. It should offer value.
Differentiation. Interesting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And it should give her something before you ever ask for anything. Going back to that idea of give, 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 and then you ask. But another business analogy I use is for a guy who's dateless, who's really struggling, maybe he's a virgin or maybe just a little bit of dating experience, I say, let's look at your dating life like we're launching a small business. We want multiple funnels of great options for you, from approaching, from a dating app or two, and then from social circle dating, meeting women through social connections or shared tribes.
Yes.
I love that you have a tribe chapter in your book, because I was reading that thinking, oh, this is so great, tribes. Tribes are a great way to meet somebody. It's not as sexy as approaching beautiful women, but it's very powerful. So it's like, let's build two or three funnels so that instead of zero dates a year or one date a year, you have one or two dates a week from lots of great options coming in. That gives a guy a feeling of abundance. Oh, wow, I've got lots of options. That's external abundance. And then we want to build that internal abundance, meaning an abundance of confidence, of hope, of feeling great about yourself. And then you're in business.
How about, this is a new concept to me. If I took a woman on a date, I always paid for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So Dutch, is it called going Dutch?
Yeah, going Dutch.
Is that a thing? Do you recommend your clients to go Dutch?
Generally, no.
It sends a bad signal.
To me, it's like kissing your sister.
Yeah.
And my sister's hot, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to kiss her.
Because let's say a large part of being a man is to be a provider.
I agree with that. I think that's true.
If you're the man in the relationship, it is a partnership.
Yeah.
But I've always viewed men as the providers, and I'm not getting into any.
I agree with you.
Woke, like women are amazing.
I'm a feminist, and I agree with you though.
There's a lot of women I would work for.
Yeah.
That are amazing leaders. It has nothing to do with it. It's just one of the things I was raised is you're paying. That's just what men do.
I agree. I like that old school chivalry should be part of it. I'm not a fan of dinner dates for the first date. I don't think any woman wants to hear me make my chewing noises for 3 hours. A dinner date is long. It's expensive. Usually you're sitting across from each other
You're telling me this now.
Yes.
I would go straight to dinner and I'm like, oh, this is getting expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of dinner dates. Expensive. It's hard. It's also hard to touch and flirt and romantically connect. That's the goal of a date, is the two of you romantically connect. And if I'm sitting across from her and we're 5 or 6 feet apart, it's hard to be a little physically flirty. I'm worried about how my weird chewing noises sound to her. It gets expensive. I feel like I'm at a business dinner. I'd rather be next to her having a quick drink or getting a delicious dessert only meal for a first date. Like, hey, let's go get cheesecake. I know a place where they have life-changing cheesecake. It's going to blow your mind. Do you like cheesecake? Great. I'll meet you up at the bar. Now we're next to each other. It's way cheaper, but it's still fun. There's three things that helps a guy get a woman out on a date with him. We want to make the date fun, obviously, but we also want to make it easy for her to get to and fast. So fun, fast, and relatively easy for her to make it to. We want to lower that threshold for how much effort she has to put in.
The barriers to entry.
Exactly. Gotcha. Another business concept that's super applicable here. If a woman feels like, oh, it's going to be fun, it'll be fast. If I'm not feeling it with him, okay, at least it'll be just a quick drink. And if it's easy for you to get to, it's hard to say no to that if you're a cool guy. And however, if you say, hey, let's do a 3-hour dinner date tonight at the steakhouse, it's about a 45-minute drive, you're going to love it. She's like, oh my God, what if there's no chemistry? I'm not even a big steak eater.
Yes.
It's like, no, let's make it easy for her
to say
you're
yes. Actually taking it right out of my playbook. It was always a steakhouse. Oh, no. First off, because in Virginia Beach, where I came from, and I wasn't single there for a whole lot. There were no steakhouses. When I got to Texas, I sort of went like full spectrum.
Okay.
You brought up a, you know, you said to approach attractive women. Mm-hmm. And I've heard some horrible Hallmark card advice where they're like, well, you know, you shouldn't just be approaching women for looks, you know, to find out if they're a good person. And I'm like, what bullshit are you spouting? I don't look at somebody across a bar and say, oh, well, I bet that woman has a really good soul. I've always said that the first ingredient in the recipe is attraction.
Okay. Physical attraction.
Yes. I wouldn't approach a woman who I'm not physically attracted to.
Right.
And then we'll find out if
they're
the content of their character and they've got to find out mine. But, I believe attraction is the first
physical.
Yes.
First thing.
We're
men.
I'm sure there's some hormonal reaction to you see an attractive woman. And it's got to be vice versa.
I don't think so. I disagree.
For women?
I think it's very different.
Send it.
I think that for men, the attraction is like an on-off switch. Either it's on or it's off. You see that woman, and I cannot help be attracted if Scarlett Johansson or her lookalike is walking next to me in a cafe. I can't help it. But with a woman, she'll look at a guy like you. If she likes your type, if she likes gingers with glasses, she'll be like, all right, he's handsome enough, but it's more like a dimmer switch. And then it's like, but if I have some swagger, if I have some humor, if I have what you might call charisma or my version of it, then all of a sudden that dimmer switch is going to get a lot brighter for her. So I've found that for men, physical appearance is in the top 5 for most men, if not number 1. Mm-hmm. For women, I don't think it's in the top 5 of the majority of women. It's like a nice bonus. It's like a jacuzzi. If he's got it, I like a jacuzzi. Not required. I don't need a jacuzzi. It's probably overrated. So that's what I found to be true. And I've seen this so many times in my dating past. I've dated a lot of women. I don't say that in a douchey, braggadocious way. I got my 10,000 hours.
I believe it. I've written a book.
I did calculate it. I've probably been, if you count phone and video dates, in addition to in-person, I've been on about 1,000 dates.
I'm sorry, what is a video date?
Oh, like a FaceTime date. Like we just hop on FaceTime.
For a first introduction.
Like a screener date before we meet up in person. So if you count phone, video date, and then actual in-person dates, I probably had about 1,000 first dates. And I've noticed, and my clients have had hundreds and hundreds.
That's actually smart because if it's one on the dating apps, the term is catfishing, right?
Yeah.
You can see if the person actually looks like.
Right.
Jesus, some of the things just so obvious.
Right. Does she look like
the photos,
a male model or a female beauty, or does she look like Danny DeVito? You want to know. And a video date can help you determine that. It's also a nice quick little chemistry test.
Too. Yes.
But I found that women are, thank God, they're incredibly forgiving if a guy isn't super great looking. And that's where men and women are very different. And one of the biggest limiting beliefs that men have that really hurt their mindsets is, I'm just not good looking enough. Why bother? Why should I go approach her? I'm not attractive. I'm not a male model. I'm too short. Something physical about me isn't there. And that is such a poisonous way to reject yourself before you even give her a chance to. So what I learned with my coaches from the past, with my clients and my own journey is you can be, there's a lot of ways to show women your worth and value to her as a mm-hmm. guy, even if you're not super physically attractive. Handsome is a nice bonus, but women are incredibly forgiving about that. It's not that forgiving is the right word. They just don't put as much weight on it as we do, which is good news for us.
So I'm hearing two things there. One, women are much more
emotionally
intellectual.
Yeah, they're emotion-based.
Than men. And two, guys, you can just stop working out.
Yes.
You're wasting time.
Exactly.
Work on the content of
If you're shorter, get some arms like you.
Okay.
Because then you need something.
I appreciate that. My wife appreciates that.
Not that you're short, but you got the arms.
That is interesting. And of course, your assessment is steeped in data mm-hmm. and years in the trade. Yeah. I would have thought attraction is the number one for both women and men.
It's, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying women don't care about looks at all. I'm saying it's not in their top five for the most women. And if you hit a something that is on her list, if you're funny, your kind of charisma, if you make her feel good emotions with you and you lead and give her that good, I call it man to woman communication. You give her that man to woman experience. I'm a man, you're a woman. Why wouldn't I flirt with you? Why wouldn't I lead the dance? Why wouldn't I pay for the drinks? She'll be like, okay, he doesn't, you know, he's not Brad Pitt, but gosh, he sure makes me feel a certain way. And what women do is they check in with their feelings on a date or an approach. They say, how am I feeling right now? And if they're feeling good, whether you look like Brad Pitt or Brad Garrett, if she's feeling good, you're doing something right and you're in the game. So good looks is a nice bonus. If you don't have classic good looks, dress your best, dress well, do what you can with the looks you have, and then focus on other things that make women love, like flirting amazingly well, which is what I specialize in, just giving her a really great experience with your best, most confident self, because not every woman needs looks. In fact, most don't care that much. I've never met a woman who wouldn't respond to confidence, though. Mm. That sense of, I'm a man of value. Yes. I have something to offer.
And I know that's who something, I am.
Yeah. And yes. Every man can cultivate that.
So what is wrong with Leonardo DiCaprio?
What do you mean?
Like he said, he won't date over 25. I mean, kidding.
He has a type. He definitely has a type.
That's going to get harder as he gets older. But what about in, you know, there's an age difference between my wife and I, and I would even tell, you know, I'll go with this. There's 13 years. Mm.
I have 20. My girlfriend's 20 younger, 20 years.
20 younger. Yeah. I would even tell my daughter, well, one, wait until you're in your 30s to truly contemplate marriage. I don't want to say don't make the mistake I did when I was in my 20s, because I still didn't know who I was. But it seems like there's a trend of younger women now dating older guys, of course, for obvious reasons. You know, one, they may be more financially stable. They've
lived a life.
They've lived a life. Yeah. Or soiled their oats. They're done with sort of the party days, unless they're we call it a Peter Pan here in Austin.
Okay,
and I noticed that when I moved here, I was 37, getting back on the dating market, and it, like, one, dating is a lot of work. My wife and I laugh. We're like, God, could you imagine dating right now? Like, we're like, oh God, that sounds like a lot of work. It's awful. No, we're happy with each other, but overall, I'm seeing a lot of younger women date older men. Is that a trend, or is that, I mean, that's anecdotal based off nothing, but
it's absolutely true. I don't have hard data on that. I know my partner is 20 years younger than me, so
Have you ever asked her why she's dating you?
I'm afraid to ask her because she might start thinking about it, and then who knows what she might.
And all of a sudden, the apartment's cleared out. And,
it's like the Seinfeld episode where George is trying to get unengaged from Susan. I don't want anything to happen. I think that here's what women want. If I could boil it down into two or three words, women want authentic value that a man can bring to her romantic table. What can you do for my life? I like to call that value, but but help, here's how you can help me thrive and survive mm-hmm. romantically. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I don't know if it's evolutionary or cultural or both, it's probably both. I think in a man who's older than that woman, basically he'll have some certainty, some financial security, which is attractive. He'll be more evolved. As John Gordon said on your podcast from a few months ago, we always want to be growing, improving. It never stops. So an older man has more evolved. He's more successful. He's more confident. Again, I'm talking generalizing here. He's lived that life. He's like that, you know, rugged leather jacket that still looks great after 10 years. It's got some miles on it, but man, it's got stories to tell. And I think that the value proposition that a man brings to a woman, I think an older man just has a lot more to offer women than many men of her age do. Because I don't know, if she's 25 and the 25-year-old guy is coming up to her with a cheesy pickup line, he hasn't done his laundry in 3 months,
lives
and
with two
his
roommates.
Parents give him yeah. cash, she's going to smell that out. She might want a 35-year-old guy who's got the cool job. He's got a sense of certainty and he's been around the block a bit. So I feel like just an older, more evolved guy has a lot more to offer a woman who's a certain number of years younger. But what do I know? I'm only a 52-year-old dating a 30-year-old.
Now, do you extend your coaching into marriage at all? Or do you break?
I break. I'm basically like, once you got the girl, good luck, good on you.
The student has become the master. The
student is the master. I'm not necessarily an expert in being the world's greatest boyfriend. I'm trying my best, doing my best with Jess. Honey, I love you, Shmoopy. We call each other Shmoopy. But I'm not an expert, and here's how you be the perfect boyfriend. I mean, I'm trying. So, there's other experts, I suppose, to help him be the best husband or the best partner. I mean, every so often a guy will reach out to me. I'll give him quick little tips. But that's not really my wheelhouse.
Okay.
It's getting the girl.
All right. I've always heard the great advice, continue dating your wife.
I would, yeah, absolutely.
And I have failed in that realm to certain degrees, and I hate to say it to go right to an excuse, but it's just, I didn't have companies back then when I was dating her, and just time.
Yeah.
Time. And you've got to make the time. You've got to actually know when to put the laptop away, the cell phone down, and just be present with your wife. And that's something I'm still 100% working on. And Will knows I just don't stop working. Like if I get up in the middle of the night, I'll go right to my computer and just start working. Mm. But
I do a morning ritual. I call it the confidence kickoff. It's been called Miracle Morning. I certainly didn't invent it. Every morning I have a little 15 to 30 minute ritual to get my head on straight. I do the same thing with my clients. And one of my little mantras is my girlfriend, Jess. I say, how can I make her smile today? How can I give her the kind of good emotions and support and love that helped me win her in the first place. So I'm figuring this out in terms of being a great partner, but so far so good. And that morning mantra is something that seems to be going well for us. We're doing well.
I have a similar, between journaling, intentions, gratitude, which we talked about in the Everyday Warrior book. It's not about me. It's something I remind myself every morning. It's not about me. It's about her. It's about my kids. It's about my family. It's about my family here in the workspace. And that principle has guided me well. Sometimes it goes off the rails because you've got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And that is a misnomer. Sometimes, they say leaders eat last, which Simon Sinek took that from the Marine Corps. It was always just a motto, leaders eat last. And there is truth in that. And you want your guys to see that. You're putting their needs before yours, much like a girlfriend or a wife. But there's sometimes, self-preservation and taking care of yourself in order to be the best version of yourself for your men or your spouse or your girlfriend. And people lose sight of that. And so do I from time to time.
That's good. So you journal every day?
Yes. Yes.
Get your head on straight. Or just get some thoughts out.
Get thoughts out. I like to write. And then, the men's journal piece, which I did not, study in journalism. It's taken work to get better at writing, but no, I do enjoy writing. Most of my writing is crap, but it's mine.
Okay.
It's my crap. And I'll pick and choose what I push out to the world. I'll tell you, and I don't know if you have the same feeling. So that was my first book, The Talent War. And I had a co-author, George Randall, who's a good friend of mine. And we were so fearful to push it out to the world. And then we actually started to hate our own book. And we talked to somebody and they said, hey, when you hate your own book, that's when you know it's ready to push out.
Interesting.
And I found that, like, I pushed back against that. And I'm like, I'm not so sure that's
Can you go, why? What do they mean by that?
That you've spent so much time on it.
Okay.
And you're second guessing yourself that you know it's ready.
I see.
But I think it was more, again, to your point, the fear of approaching a woman in rejection.
Yeah.
It was the fear of pushing that thing out and seeing a one-star review that this is crap.
Oh, I remember that first time I looked at my Amazon reviews. I couldn't look at the Amazon page for a month. I was like, I needed like a piece of cardboard with a pinhole in it. Like, what's my average? Do they like it? Oh, so scary.
We got a one-star review on that, that book. And it was because somebody received a dented copy.
Okay.
And the thing about Amazon reviews is you can't find names or where the person lives.
Right.
And I would have gladly sent a clean copy to them.
Yeah.
To say, hey, can you do a review on the content of the book? Not that Amazon dented a copy and sent it to you, but that was shitty. So if you're leaving Amazon reviews, leave it on the content of the book, not the package that you received. Because sometimes I've seen books where like 30 pages will be completely blank, and that's not on the author.
Yeah.
That's on the distributor who's written it. So,
Speaking of your book, there's in my morning ritual, I added something recently to my morning ritual that I read in your book. I want to thank you for it. One of the first chapters you mentioned, I'm not going to quote it correctly, but basically you say in the Everyday Warrior book that you can choose the path of facing the fear. Oh no, you can choose the easy path of being the victim, or you can fight. Pretty close to it. I think that's pretty close to that. That really resonated with me. That brought me back to what helped me go out and start meeting women back in the day. The fight was fighting with my self-doubt, fighting with my insecurities. But then recently, I won't bore your listeners, but I've had a business conflict with somebody who wronged me. And I was letting it go too long. And I remember reading that thinking, in my morning ritual, I thought, yeah, I can take the easy path and let this person off the hook, or I can fight and say what I think needs to be said. And so, anyway, thanks for that. I love that tidbit really helped me. And what I do every day is I have a mental routine to basically get real clear on the important goals in my life, moving forward, taking the right action. And for any guy who wants to get really great dating results, what most men don't do is they don't just say, what do I want? What's a really compelling, amazing goal? So I highly recommend any man or woman for that matter, but any guy say, you know what? I want this kind of partner, this kind of girlfriend, or I want to approach women and get XYZ sorts of connections. And then get clear on that every day and come up with your own mantras.
It's refinement. And again, I hate to go back to sales, but you talk to sales and you'll hear the mantra, hey, you got to get 99 no's to get the one yes.
Yeah.
It's refinement. As you get older and as you date more, you what didn't I like about that woman?
Yeah.
Okay, let's put that down. And
yeah,
that becomes a non-qualifier for any future women I meet that has that same quality. Done. But the victimhood is interesting in the sense that we all bounce between victimhood and warrior. I wrote the book and I still fall into that. And it's okay as long as you just don't stay there. If you need the now or in the fetal position to just, you know, sweat it out or do your internal process, that's okay. But, you know, dating, I've got to assume, is like anything, it requires work, commitment, and just
getting some no's,
assessment.
Getting lots of no's,
yes.
And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to get lots of no's. I have a client, call him Jerry, who's fairly new to working with me. And he went out, he's approached 20, 30 women and started to get some phone numbers, getting some genuine feedback, but no women have gone on a date with him yet. And he said, oh, I'm so bummed out. I feel so shitty about this. Why isn't this working? I'm like, dude, 30 women's nothing. First 50, first 100 don't count. It's batting practice. You're getting in the batting cage. Don't worry about your batting average. You haven't done the work yet to show women the value in the best authentic Jerry to make her go, hell yeah, when are we going out? And so Yeah, he was playing a little bit of that self-victim card. And I've done it too. I there was one night in San Diego, man, 15 or so years ago. I went out one night telling myself, I'm going to approach all the hot girls tonight. And I just had so much anxiety and resistance to it. And I talked to like one woman for 30 seconds and I was total timid wimp about it. And I was so upset at myself and so into the victim mindset. I got in the elevator in my hotel and I just slammed my head against the wall like, stupid, stupid, stupid. Not hard, like bleeding, just like, but enough to feel it, beating myself up. And that's a losing game. So anyway, if you ever felt really frustrated after a woman, quote, rejected you, or you wanted to take an action but didn't, it's good to get disturbed.
Yes.
So Tony Robbins has a great line. It's like, get disturbed and then take action to fix it, which I love that.
Which is the recipe to about 99% of all your problems.
Yeah.
Take action.
Yeah.
What do you advocate? Because some people loosen up. Hey, one, two drinks, maybe prior to, yeah.
No problem with that. I'm sober now. I've been sober a year.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. It's life-changing in all the right ways. That said, I'm totally fine with getting the wheels off the runway a little bit.
Loosen up a little bit.
A drink or two. Yeah. Totally fine. As long as you're not using that as fuel and your only fuel. All good. All good.
What about you get a woman's number? What's your advice to guys? You get a woman's number at like 11:30 p.m.
Yep.
She departs the bar. Don't text her at 12 and say, hey, you know, I want to take you out on a date. Or I've always seen this. Like, what's your advice on how long to wait to respond to a woman?
You can text her whenever you want. You can text her when you're standing there getting her number if you want. You can wait till tomorrow. There's not a hard and fast rule about how long. I don't believe in that kind of gamesmanship. I would do it if it worked, maybe. But as long as your messages are giving value, there's this theme, give, 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 right? As long as your text that you send her gives her something, then you can text her right away. You're going to make her smile. What is she going to laugh at your witty text and say, oh, he's needy? No, she's going to be like, I want more. So
just don't text her like 30 times. Why are you not responding to me?
Exactly. So that's an ask. There's two kinds of texts, ones that give, ones that try to take. A needy text like that would be taking, right? All of your text messages should give except the one that asks for the date.
Mm.
And then otherwise we're just doing Jerry Vaynerchuk here.
Yeah.
Right. Jab, 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 right hook. This is just that with a different words. Give, 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 ask. So you get a cute girl's number at 11:30. You could text her at 11:45. Hey, great meeting you. Is this your number or is this Papa John's Pizza? Who is this? Did I get a, you know, you could crack a joke. Or you could crack a little joke about something that you and she joked about. So please don't worry about how long you text or when you text. As long as you're giving value through your personality, good questions, not how's your day, but like a good question. How's your day going on a scale of root canal to won the lottery? If you're going to ask her a question, ask it in a clever way. Or talking about something she cares about, if you're giving her value and she's going to be like, yeah, I want this guy in my life, you can text as much as you want, as often as you want, as long as it's roughly 50-50. So I'm not saying send 10 a day, but if she sends you 10 back, you can send 10 a day. So like keep it 50-50-ish, but otherwise, as long as you give value, text her right then and there, wait till tomorrow, totally up to you. You don't have to be a game. Gamesmanship doesn't matter. Because if you don't text her, she's going to forget about you and 10 other guys are going to try to get her in his life.
I've been off the market for close to 7 years.
Okay.
Married for 5. And as we speak, I'm like, thank God I'm off the market. Because okay. This just sounds like a lot of work.
That's and why I'm not, it's called dating sucks.
And I am not funny. I don't hide that. I would be doing horribly in this dating market.
I don't know about that. But you don't need to worry about it. You have your lady's name is Jordan Monday?
Jordan Monday Sorelli.
What a name.
Yeah.
She should
Monday
be
was her maiden name.
It's like a private eye name, Jordan Monday.
But nobody Sorelli. Likes Mondays. I mean, nobody likes Mondays. Any final advice for the guys? And then where can people find you?
Final advice is, again, I like to think of meeting women, approaching women. To me, it's a metaphor for life. How do we approach women? The right way to do it, with authenticity, with courage, empathy, and a sense of giving. That's also how I think you should approach life. This is really a holistic thing. Empathy, but courage, authenticity, being on your authentic path and taking those chances. Got to take risks, got to be courageous, and you have to be authentic. In terms of people finding me, my website is called datingtransformation.com. There's lots of cool videos, free tips. And I'd like to, if you're cool with that, I'd love to make a little offer for any of the listeners of your podcast here, Mike. If anybody wants a free copy of my book, the first 25 people who shoot me an email and say Everyday Warrior in the subject line, I'll send them a free instant download of Dating Sucks, But You Don't. And the email for that is my email, which is Connell, C-O-N-N-E-L-L, at datingtransformation.com.
And so, we will blast it over socials, first 25. The book can be found, Dating Sucks, But You Don't, on Amazon.
Yes, sir.
I always just push people towards Amazon anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Barnes & Noble is still a thing. I'm kidding. Now they're removing all my books from their shelves. But
I take a lot of guys to actual Barnes & Nobles to meet women.
I've heard that.
But yeah.
I've heard because they've got the coffee bar. And
oh, in New York, there's a couple big Barnes & Nobles where there's often a lot of attractive, intriguing women. So we go there for old school bookstore game. It's really fun.
Well, we didn't get to weddings, crashing weddings or funerals. we'll save that for the next
part two,
episode.
How to pick her up at the funeral.
Best movie ever. Well, dude, Connell, thank you for making the trip out from New York.
My pleasure, Mike.
This has been educational, again, for Men's Journal Podcast. This is the right audience. Guys, if you're having trouble dating, reach out to Connell, datingtransformation.com.
Yes, sir. Right? Thank you for having me on. I had a blast.
Thank you, brother. All right, guys, that is it. It's been another episode of the Men's Journal Everyday Warrior Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cirelli. Have a good one.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.